We're here whatever time we're here, and one of our jobs is to be sure that we can bring some joy or peace or contentment or consolation to somebody whose lives we touch. That's part of our daily prayers at mealtime.
My advice is that when you keep family together, I used to invite them every single thing that we had around, and make lots of food, and they go around and they keep coming.
Family is always very, very important.
Welcome to Elder Wisdom Stories from the Green Bench. I'm Kathy Buckworth, and I'm so happy to be sitting on the Green Bench today, especially because my co-host Evelyn Brindle is here as usual. Good morning, Evelyn.
Good morning, Kathy. I hope you're having a good day, and I think we're going to have a very enjoyable interview this morning with our guest from Tansley Woods. Emily Jarrett is a very lovely lady who has had a tremendous amount of experiences through her 98 years of life.
Yes, I'm really looking forward to speaking with Emily and hearing about her travels and her hobbies, what she's up to now. She sounds like a very busy lady, Evelyn.
Oh, yes. I'm amazed at all the hobbies and things that she has tried through her years. She's kept busy, that's for sure.
Good morning, Emily. How are you this morning? Thanks for coming on the podcast with us.
I'm fine, and I'm happy to be on the podcast.
So, Emily, you're 98 years old. What advice?
You're a year short. I'm 99.
Emily, you're 99 years old. I think you might be our oldest guest on the show, which is amazing. What advice would you give us? What advice would you give a younger person in our audience on what is important in life? That's a huge question. We're going to start with that one.
That's a hard question. This weekend I had an experience with AI. And I asked the lady what I must do to live to be 100. And she merely told me eat well, exercise, and don't smoke, and all the things that we know. So I can now say I've lived 2 months of my 100th year.
That's fantastic. Yeah, good advice all around. I think we should all follow that advice. Before you got to your 99th year, of course, you did many, many things. I'm interested to know how you ended up moving to Canada.
Well, it was 1952. And we'd been married 4 years, and England was not progressing the way we expected it to. It was really slow in coming round after the war. And somebody once, we talked around our friends, and somebody said, Canada's a good country, and they were thinking of coming. So we just said, well, we're young, we don't like it, we can come back. Or go on to Australia. So we chose Canada, and been a very good experience. It's been very good to us. I don't know what else I can tell you.
My parents actually moved to Canada in the late 50s as well from England. So it seemed like that was something that was going on. And you lived in Toronto for a little while before you went to Vancouver, is that right?
I lived in Toronto 3.5 years, and we're doing all right. We had a nice apartment. But I wanted children. Up until that time, I'd not wanted them. But I wanted children, and if I went to Vancouver, I was going to start a family. So we were able to put a deposit down on a house in Vancouver. And we started a family. So that was my ambition at the time. My daughter was born in 1956, almost 9 months after we left Toronto.
And you have a son and a daughter, is that right, Emily?
Yes, my son was born in 58, 2 years apart. And that was me finished as far as the family went. So.
All done.
Yeah, if I could bring up two good children and launch them into life, that was my part done. So that's what we did. And I have got two very good children. They're not children, but you're still children to me.
It's always wonderful to have that family surrounding you and supporting you through the years, isn't it? I'd like to go back a little bit when you were still in England before you moved here, that you were quite interested in medical field, and that at the age of 17, you were helping a doctor, assisting him in a lot of the things that were going on at that time, because I feel it's part of the war, right?
I worked for a doctor for 5 years in England and enjoyed it. But that in those days, it wasn't like it is today, so I practically did everything, even to assisting him in small operations with no certificates, no graduation, nothing. No. He taught what I knew, he taught me. So I even drove him around. In those days, they used to go to the house, and I drove him around in a Daimler. So that's where I learned to drive.
Yeah, we learn a lot of things that way, don't we, better through the years.
Yeah,
but you still kept that desire for the medical field, because when you were 53, I understand you, 36 years later, you went to school and became a registered nurse.
When I was 52, my children were just coming out of university, and I decided it was my turn, and I enrolled in a nursing program which had been full, but that year it wasn't, and I got in and completed it. But it wasn't like it is today. Once more, I didn't have a university degree, and I became a registered nurse. So yeah, that was my ambition.
You enjoyed it as well, right? You were working at St. Mary's Hospital there in Kitchener, I understand.
That's where I started my nursing career. Then I went back to McMaster, and I got, I suppose it would be called a certificate to go into occupational health nursing, and I went into factories. And I enjoyed that very much.
How many years did you practice?
Only 10. I retired at 65. It was very, very tempting to spend time in Florida, and I like to play golf, so it worked very well.
And speaking of Florida and travels, tell us, if you can, Emily, what are the Tansley Trippers?
There's a group of people who, before COVID, they were going away twice a year, autumn and spring, and it was marvelous. We went to many places. I can't name them all because my memory is not as good as it was, but I went on one last year, and that was to Barbados. Yes.
And this is a group organized through Schlegel Village, is that right? Through the Tansley Village? Yes.
I think it is, yes. Yeah, I think it is. We were.
Yeah, that's really nice, because they can obviously help you as you go along. I guess it makes you feel a little bit safer, but you're still getting out into the world, right?
Yes, they were marvelous. They booked the whole trip, guided us through even to packing and a limousine to the airport, and they did everything for us. It was marvelous. So
I would like to take one of those with a limousine to the airport. What was your favorite what was your favorite destination, Emily?
No, you got me there. My favorite destination would be Bermuda, but Tansley Trip has never went to Bermuda. And I've been to Bermuda twice, and I like Bermuda best, so.
Yeah, Bermuda is a lovely place to go. It's so easy to get around to. Yeah,
it's lovely, yes.
Yeah.
It has a British element, and maybe that appeals to me.
Yeah.
Yes, there's a Marks and Spencer's right on the main street, isn't there?
Yes.
I know it.
Yes. Yeah, there is. Yeah. Lovely beaches and everything you could wish for. Good food. Expensive.
Is a beach holiday your ideal holiday, Emily, or do you like to do more adventure-type holidays?
I like to see all the places that are available to visit when I'm going on holidays. I like to see a little more than the beach, so.
Well, it sounds fantastic, that's for sure. And it sounds like not just travel is one of your hobbies, you have many hobbies and interesting. And one that's jumping out at me because I think it's very unique is the woodworking. Can you tell me how you got involved with woodworking?
I like wood. My father was good at making things and my husband was good at making things. And I decided to join the carving group at the senior center. And I got to know, I was the only woman in the class, and I think another lady joined us later. But they were a marvelous group, and I did lots of birds and enjoyed every minute of it. And I'm hoping to start again. If we can get one started in Tansley Woods, I will join it. So.
Is that your favorite hobby that you've had through the years?
I would say it would be. Yes, it would be. It involves, apart from the actual carving, it involves painting the birds and making them look real. And I like the feel of wood. So, yes, that would be my favorite hobby. So.
The feel and the grain of wood is always beautiful, isn't it? Yeah, I share that with you.
Yeah, and sanding it and getting it feeling like velvet is lovely. So
just putting your hand across it, it's if you really feel something.
Yes, yeah, I do.
I understand you have all of the equipment for that in your apartment at Tansley Woods. Is that right?
They have lots of equipment in a woodworking room downstairs, but I've never been down there to find out what they've got. I've got my own carving knives. I've still got those. And I've got a Dremel drill, which speeds things up a little. So I've kept them, and I will use them again if we can get started on the carving class.
Well, it sounds like you've always been a pretty creative person, Emily. I understand that you are trying new things. You tried crocheting and knitting, and it sounds like you're pretty dab hand at sewing. You sewed a wedding dress for your sister. That's quite something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, I went to what is now Manchester University, and I got a... I don't think they called it a degree. They do now, but they didn't at that time in dress design and construction. So I make use of it when I can.
I have a very important question for you, Emily. Are you a Manchester City or Manchester United fan?
It used to be Manchester United.
Okay, all right.
but not when I came to Canada. It wasn't as... I don't think they'd heard of it in those days. So I had to drop my football. And now I don't watch sports. I don't know, it's quite different. So I'm not a sports fan.
Yeah. Well, you know, either am I, but I have family members who are big Manchester United fans still.
Are so they really?
I'm sitting, I joke about this all the time, Emily, my recording studio is a closet in my son's bedroom, and I am actually surrounded by Manchester United shirts right now.
How marvelous. In England, they had a thing called a pool, so every week you put money in it, even if it was only a shilling or a... And sometimes you won, not very often, but it was interesting to back your favorite team. So,
Well, you sound like you're pretty busy. Doesn't sound like you've slowed down much at all. What are you involved in this week? What kinds of things do you have going on in terms of activities?
Well, I've got a lot of material left over from my sewing days, and I'm making a blouse.
Oh, wow.
And you're
That's a good start, anyway. So,
and you've been involved in so many different things through your life, all the various hobbies, the painting, woodworking, sewing. I understand you also play the ukulele and a keyboard. And
yeah, I'm trying.
What would you say or suggest to younger people as to why they should get involved with a hobby?
You're never lonely when you've got a hobby, because you've always got something to do. And I think that applies to my life. If I'm never lonely, I just go and dig something up out of the cupboard to do. So I like to read, but I get stiff sitting still. And hobby, you move around a little, so.
And I suppose living somewhere like Tansley Woods is great for that, you know, not really feeling lonely all the time and finding people who have lots in common with you.
Not really. There are things in the hobby shop which I've taken an interest in. One was painting. Mm-hmm. But they don't give me what I want, because I don't know, I want a little more than what they offer. But they are catering to the level of the people that want to paint, so they're doing what's right. And I would like to get back to painting, because I haven't painted for about 5 years.
Yeah. And I understand you did a painting of a cottage on an island up north. It used to be your cottage, is that right? But now it's your daughter's?
Yes, now it's my daughter's. And I can't get in the boat, so I can't get over there. So
it's a water access cottage. Do you mind sharing where that cottage is, Emily?
You would call it south of Algonquin Park.
Nice.
If you know Dorset, that's the town mm-hmm. that's the closest. And then you turn off and you go in for about 5 miles. And there's lots of little lakes. They're all little lakes. The big one is called Coagama. Mm-hmm. But the island is on a small lake. And Coagama, we did start with a cottage on Coagama, but it was 7 miles to get to it, and it was a rough ride, especially with two children. So the island is much closer and much safer, I felt, anyway. So.
And when you owned it was fairly primitive, I understand. No electricity, oil lamps. And is it somewhat updated now?
My daughter married an electrical engineer, and he's put electrical cables all through it. He's bought a solar panel, so it can be heated by the solar panel. And he's still working on it, so I don't know what he's going to do.
Well, that was a good marriage. That was a good pick.
It was a good pick, yes. And so they've got electric lights and a balcony to sit on, which is enclosed, so they won't get bitten like I used to have to get bitten. The mosquitoes are pretty tortuous.
Exactly.
Yeah. So,
Emily, have your son or daughter followed any particular hobbies?
My son likes woodwork, but a different type to mine. He's not a carver, but he does like woodwork, and he has his own place and he's very good on looking after it. So I think they have picked up my usefulness around the house. If you can fix it yourself, you don't get somebody in to do it for you. So.
And when you look back at your 99 years and all of these experiences you've had, Emily, what would you say are some of the hardest challenges that you've had to face? Whether it's work or friends, your health, family, what have been those things that have been most difficult and maybe how did you get through them?
Well, each phase of your life brings in a new thing that you miss. Right now, I miss my family, who are still in England, and knowing I can't get on a plane and go and see them, that would be what I miss. But you have to give up something to get something, and I used to be able to get back to England every 2 years to see them, but I can't now.
Are you able to connect with them online at least?
Yes, I
can.
That's
nice.
Connect them online. But once more, they are in the 90s, and they're gradually losing one and then another one, and not many left. So I love England, and I've got very happy memories of England. It's a beautiful place, but I've just got to manage with the memories because I won't be going back. So.
Yeah, that's important to keep those memories, absolutely.
Yes, it is.
Absolutely.
Yes, it is. And I watch the TV, and if there's something on England, I always watch that.
Are you into British murder mysteries, Emily?
Sometimes.
Sometimes I am.
Yeah. Yes, they're good. They do a good job on them. Yes, they do a good job on them.
And I have to ask you this because I don't chat with 99-year-olds very often. I'm not that lucky. What current health challenges do you have right now, Emily? Are you feeling pretty good?
I'm feeling very good, but I'm missing my old pep and get up and go. And I don't expect to recover it. But what I've got, I'm very grateful for. I can still see and hear and... But I can't walk very well, so I use a walker. So I don't get on buses and I don't go very far. I bought a scooter, but even that has limits as to how far I can go. I can get over to the library. But when you've been a driver, you miss a car. I think that's what I miss the most. So I've just been to my daughter's and I had a dreadful trip home where traffic was concerned, and I was very glad I wasn't driving, so I don't think I could manage today's roads anyway. So
yeah, I don't think they've gotten much better, that's for sure.
No,
they've gotten
no,
a little
very,
bit worse.
Very, very
and the
bad.
cars aren't that easy to maneuver anymore either, with all the new technology in them. It's very different from the cars we drove.
I was driving till I was 95, so the day I got a backup camera, I thought it was marvelous.
Oh, yes.
And I had a little beeper that said there's somebody at the side of you, and that's about my limit. But now there's electric cars and cars that drive themselves.
I'm glad you mentioned technology, ladies, because you mentioned right off the top, Emily, AI or artificial intelligence. Do you use a computer very often?
Yes, I use it very often. I do accounts on it. I have to keep up with accounts. And I used to do income tax, but I'm not doing it now. It's a bit too complicated. Mm-hmm. But at least I can get it all ready and I can look at my visa every day, make sure nobody else got in there, and
smart.
I find that useful because somebody once did, but I got in there in time to stop it going through.
Sorry, you mentioned that you communicate with some of your family in England online. What do you use to communicate with them? Are you on FaceTime or emailing?
I don't like Facebook, but I do like FaceTime and emails and... That's about all. I have long conversations with them on the phone, so I've got nieces, but not very many now. Mm-hmm. I came from a family of four, and I'm losing contact with the nieces and nephews because they've all got their own lives and busy people. So, but my father had came from a family of 12. So in England, I had 28 cousins and and 12 aunts and 12 uncles. So I was never without somebody to talk to. So, but they're not there now anyway. So memories, they go into your memories. So
it is nice using technology like a FaceTime where you can see someone's face as well, isn't it? It means a lot.
It means a lot, yes, and it tells a lot too, so.
And it's kind of nice to see where people are sitting and, you know, what their environment is like, isn't it?
Definitely, yeah, definitely. I've got one brother left, and that's all. And he's 10 years younger than I am, so I talk with him quite often. So,
well, it's all about friends and family, isn't it? And you're right, as we get older, we lose people one way or the other. Why is it so important to make friends as you go along? What do you think? Share some wisdom with us.
I think it's important to make young friends. Mm-hmm. At least they're still with you and they don't die off. So that would be my recommendation to anybody. I wish I'd made more. I have a friend who I went through the nursing course with. She was 15 years younger than I was, but she still keeps in touch. And things like that. I like that kind of thing.
Multi-generational friendships are so important.
Very much so. Very much so. And make sure they're younger than you because they don't last to 99 usually. So.
So inspiring this morning.
Not really. I've got a memory that doesn't work as well as it did, else I could probably tell you a lot more. But
no, all of the things, and to consider that at your age, particularly, you know, your interest in so many things, your ability to work with technology. I mean, I've run into lots of people of various ages, and so many of them are often, you know, a little scared of trying anything new, or you feel that they're overwhelmed by technology and that sort of thing. And to find that you embrace it so much and it's a very active part of your life, daily life, it's wonderful. And I, you know, really commend you and being with us today and to tell us all about how much you enjoy life. And that's definitely shown that you do. You're enjoying life every day, and it's wonderful.
Well, it overcomes loneliness. Mm-hmm. And this weekend I eventually contacted somebody on artificial intelligence. And when I'd finished, I was a bit frightened to think that that is in the world today. You can ask somebody questions and they know the answer. So I've been thinking about that since, but I'll get back to it and do a bit more.
What is it you find frightening about that, Emily?
It's just something new, that the mm-hmm. fact that somebody's out there that knows all this can answer the question so fast. So
I asked
questions on the town I lived in Cheshire, England. And it was amazing, the history she knew of that little place, which is no longer little, but it was amazing, the history she knew. And I think she knew more than I did. So I thought, my goodness. And the answer is so fast, they don't go and look it up like I would have to do. So
it's quite remarkable, isn't it, that technology has increased, you know, so much. And even in the last 10 years, it's crazy. Do you have any predictions on what might come next?
No, because I think I've got enough to learn. I wish I had somebody who would teach me more. And mm-hmm. But it's hard to get somebody who will teach you.
When you turn 100, Emily, I know you're going to be asked this question, so I'm going to be the first one to ask it.
Okay.
To what would you attribute, living to 100? What's the secret? Can you share us the secret so we can get there as well?
I think don't smoke.
Mm-hmm.
That's number one. And don't drink a lot. I'm just a social drinker sometimes. Live a healthy life. Keep interest, keep your brain working all you can. I think you have to move with the times. You can't live in the old-fashioned days. I really don't know. I think eating right is another good thing.
Mm-hmm. I'm writing all of this down. This is all great advice. Do you ever look back, Emily, and say, well, I wish I had done that? And what would that thing be?
That's a good question. I have to think about that.
Well, it's quite something that you don't have an answer. I think you've probably done a lot of the things that you wanted to do. That's a good place.
Well, I wish I could walk, and I wish I could go out and seek some things out. The ukulele even is getting to me because you get arthritis in your fingers and you can't get the chords like you need to do. But maybe it's good exercise for my hands. So mm-hmm. I'm having a group in here next month, and we're going to get together and have a little session on ukuleles. They're much younger than I am, which is good. And they have got together and made a small band. So I don't think I can join the band. I'm not as good as they are, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm always open for new things. Anybody who could teach me new things. So
yes, I'm certainly getting that from you, Emily, yeah. That open to new things. And not only are you open to learning new things, I love that you're teaching other people new things as well. I think it's wonderful.
Yes, I like to teach too, if I can help anybody. But lots of people are not interested. I don't know what happens to them. They just seem to settle into life. And I think there are a lot of lonely people in here. I'm not lonely, but I am alone, and I'd like to have more people in, invite more people in and get invitations out. I think it's missing a lot in that way. You go to things like Happy Hour and a very nice group and you meet them, but nobody says, come up to my place and we'll have a drink or anything like that. They don't invite you in.
Yeah, and I think that's partly why this Green Bench was started, was to start conversations not only within residents, but also with other, you know, guests and visitors. And of course, doing this, hopefully we're sharing a lot of information and everyone's going to know your name after this at Tansley Woods. So
Really? Hopefully
you joined on the Green Bench after this conversation. I have really enjoyed it. I think you feel the same, Evelyn.
Oh, definitely. You're just very inspiring. And it points out one thing, that we're never too old to learn something new. And that quote that I ran across, I felt was very appropriate for you, is hobbies are vitamins for the mind. They keep you mentally healthy. And they have certainly done that for you. And I hope I get the opportunity to meet you one day, Emily. It's you're a wonderful person and very open to learning everything new and enjoying the life that you have. Continue with it.
I'd like to be a part of the Green Bench, but I do feel that if I went and sat on the elder seat downstairs, you wouldn't get anybody that you could really talk to. It's a different world. So
So we're going to throw that challenge out to everyone listening to the podcast right now in the Schlegel Villages to go and sit on the green bench and have these conversations. It was the brainchild of Ron Schlegel, who believed, of course, that the greatest untapped resource in Canada, if not the world, is the collective wisdom of our elders. And that's what we've been gathering today. On behalf of Evelyn Brindle and myself, I'd like to thank you, Emily, for joining us on the green bench today. And for our listeners, go to the bench, sit down, have a conversation. But also subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already done so. And we'd love to hear other words of wisdom as well. So please share them on social media with the hashtag #ElderWisdom, which will help others to find us on the green bench. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you, Evelyn. Thank you, Emily. What a great conversation.
Thank you for giving me this opportunity.
Elder Wisdom, stories from the green bench, is brought to you by Schlegel Villages, a complete continuum of care, offering independent living to long-term care, celebrating and honoring the wisdom of the elder. To learn more about us, please go to our website, schlegelvillages.com.